This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 83 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's hard to believe that the fantasy football playoffs are here. But in most leagues, the fantasy football playoffs are here. The most stressful part of the fantasy football season is here. And my Alvin Kamara teams, they're very ready for the fantasy football playoffs. My Kareem Hunt teams, not so much. As I talked about last week, this 15 Transactions podcast and the recommendations that I'm giving are certainly a little different than they were earlier in the year. Because you can't trade anymore. Or I hope that you can't trade anymore. But when I say a guy is a buy or a sell, I'm just saying that you should feel fairly confident or not so confident in that player from here on out, because that's still really important down the stretch. Before we dig into this week's transactions, though, I wanted to tell you about the free FanDuel Scout app. Scout syncs with your FanDuel lineup to bring you injury notifications, instant player analysis, and game time updates, so you'll never get burned by a late scratch or last-minute injury. Scout also provides NumberFire's advanced analytics and game previews so you can build smarter lineups. Download the free Scout app now on iOS and Android to get started. All right, now let's start these transactions with one of my favorites of the entire season. Buy Josh Gordon. Sunday was awesome with Josh Gordon. He not only had 85 receiving yards after not playing football for 3 years, but he did it against one of the best secondaries and one of the best cornerbacks in the entire NFL. Josh Gordon is a nasty, nasty man. He ended up seeing 11 of a possible 32 targets in the Browns offense on Sunday, finishing the day with 210 air yards, according to airyards.com. Just for reference, guys, Julio Jones has averaged about 127 air yards per game this year. Josh Gordon had 210. And he did this, again, against the Chargers secondary and cornerback Casey Hayward. The only wide receiver with more receiving yards against LA this year was Odell Beckham. As a reminder, this was Josh Gordon's first game in 3 years. I see no reason as to why this type of usage cannot continue through the end of the fantasy football season. DeShone Kizer is fifth in the NFL on throws that have traveled 15 or more yards through the air this year, and he hasn't even played 10 full games for Cleveland. And with the Packers on deck this week, Josh Gordon could go absolutely nuts. Add Mike Davis. Since Chris Carson went down with an injury earlier this season, the Seahawks have really struggled to find a running back who can carry any sort of significant workload in that backfield, or at least effectively. Thomas Rawls, not very good. Eddie Lacy, not very good. No Seattle running back actually has a success rate or the percentage of runs that go for positive expected points according to NumberFire's net expected points metric that's above the league's average, and that includes, actually, Mike Davis as well. But if you've watched Mike Davis, you can see that Mike Davis certainly looks the part more than Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls. Eddie Lacy looks like he's running in sand. Thomas Rawls just continuously runs into the backs of his offensive linemen. Mike Davis can at least make moves. Mike Davis actually looks really quick. And on Sunday, he ended up playing 73% of the team's snaps, ending the game with 16 of a possible 19 running back carries for the Seahawks. That volume alone makes him worthwhile off the waiver wire this week. Drop Devontae Parker. I'm going to tell a little story about Devontae Parker, even though it has nothing to do with Devontae Parker. Last week, I recommended dropping T.Y. Hilton, and T.Y. Hilton then goes and has a usable week against the best secondary in football. Variance happens, though. That's fine. That's going to happen in fantasy football. But then I had someone on Twitter come to me and say, and that's why I didn't drop T.Y. Hilton. So I sat back, and I started typing, and I said, well, did you start T.Y. Hilton this week? And the person goes, no way. Why would I play T.Y. Hilton against the Jaguars? This is precisely my point. This is exactly what I'm trying to say when I say that predictability is so often overlooked in fantasy football. It's one thing to have or see a certain performance from a player, but it's another for that performance to actually be predictable. And to be honest, it's about having confidence in that play. Those factors are not analyzed when we look and see how a player performed. We just say, this player performed. T.Y. Hilton performed. Well, good. No one was actually starting T.Y. Hilton this week, so it didn't matter. And the truth is, with Devontae Parker, you're kind of there with him as well. He really hasn't brought it this year. He scored more than 13 PPR points just once all season long, and that came all the way back in week 3 against the Jets, and he needed a garbage time touchdown to get there. He's seeing snaps, that's great, but he's also tallied just 4 targets over his last 2 games. Now, maybe some of that has to do with tough cornerback matchups, I get it, but even still, if you're in a shallow league, it would seem more beneficial right now to own a handcuff as opposed to someone like Devontae Parker, even with a decent upcoming schedule. Because you have to ask yourself, are you ever going to use Devontae Parker? Add Marquise Goodwin. Someone who might honestly have more upside than Devontae Parker from here on out is Marquise Goodwin. You know, admittedly, some of that has to do with the ambiguous upside that he has now with quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. He ended up with over 21% of San Francisco's targets on Sunday, and the 49ers now get the Texans and the Titans over the next 2 weeks, two teams who rank 11th or worse in air yards allowed this year, again, according to airyards.com. Goodwin is a speedster. He can get behind secondaries. And secondaries who are allowing a lot of air yards, that's a perfect match for someone like Marquise Goodwin. Drop the Denver Broncos backfield. Over the last 4 weeks, Devontae Booker hadn't seen fewer than 34% of Denver's snaps. And that number was essentially rising each week. Booker was seeing more and more touches as each game passed. And then Sunday happened, and Booker was on the field for only 15% of the Broncos' snaps. Now, I dug into this a bit, and it hasn't been heavily reported, but it sounds like Devontae Booker was sick. Whether that came because he was watching Trevor Siemian throw the football, I don't know. But in all seriousness, the flu is going around that Broncos locker room, evidently, and that's why Devontae Booker didn't play as many snaps as he probably should have. But even still, it's really, really tough right now to get behind this Broncos offense. They've got one home game in the fantasy football playoffs, too, this week against the Jets, and then they're going to face the Colts and the Redskins on the road in weeks 15 and 16, respectively. Now, those are not horrible matchups, but the offense is horrible itself, and that's going to limit overall scoring opportunities for these running backs. And like I just talked about with Devontae Parker and the predictability aspect, I think that you have to ask yourself, are you going to play one of these running backs when everything matters? When you're going to try to win a fantasy football championship? To me, the answer in most leagues is probably no. Hold Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has a success rate of 45.60% this year. That's about 14% better than teammate DeMarco Murray's. And even still, over the Titans' last 5 games, Murray has a rushing attempt share in the team's backfield that's about 3% higher than Derrick Henry's. It's very, very frustrating. But the good news is that things are definitely trending up for Derrick Henry. 4 weeks ago, DeMarco Murray out-attempted Henry 14-11. 3 weeks ago, it was 8-7. But in week 12, Henry actually had more attempts than DeMarco Murray did, 13-12. And then this past week, they each had 11. And meanwhile, over the last 2 weeks, Henry has hit 2 of his 3 highest single-game snap rates of the entire season. So the bottom line is, even though you might not feel confident playing him each week, you do have to hold on to Derrick Henry. Because he's not only seeing a slight uptick in workload, but he's also serving as a high-end handcuff, and that's precisely the type of player that you need on your bench this time of year. Buy Alex Collins. We've now got a 3-week sample of the Ravens' backfield with Danny Woodhead back from injury, and it's featured a whole lot of Alex Collins. He's seen the field for 64%, 46%, and 52% of Baltimore snaps over these last 3 games. And over this time, he's seen the 11th highest rushing attempt market share in the entire NFL. Now, I will say, much of this has to do with positive game scripts. Baltimore is 3-0 over the stretch, and they have 2 big blowout victories. But that could still be there for the fantasy football playoffs. This week against Pittsburgh might be a little tough, but they close out the fantasy season against the Browns and the Colts. So Collins, who's beasting right now with a success rate of 45%, should be in good shape during the latter part of the fantasy football postseason. Add Aaron Jones. As good as Jamal Williams has been over the last couple of weeks, we cannot forget about how good Aaron Jones is as well. Aaron Jones has actually had a better advanced metrics production profile than Jamal Williams this year. Williams has an impressive 0.09 rushing net expected points per rush rate. Probably doesn't mean a lot to you guys, but that is way above average. But Aaron Jones is 0.22. That's 0.22 versus 0.09. Jamal Williams' success rate is 46.15%. Again, that's well above average. But Aaron Jones is 52.86%. Aaron Jones has been better than Jamal Williams this year. Jones came back in week 13 after a 3-week knee injury, and he only carried the ball once because the team was easing him in. But that one play was an overtime touchdown to win the game for the Packers. As he gets healthier, and this is just my guess, but this is obviously an educated guess, because Jones was once ahead of Williams on the depth chart after showing off his skill set, and he's been outperforming Williams this season. But as he gets healthier, I'm assuming that Aaron Jones will dig into this Williams workload. And if that's the case, you will want to own Aaron Jones. By Michael Crabtree. It's almost been 7 weeks since Michael Crabtree has found the end zone. And he hasn't been the most reliable fantasy asset as a result of that, even if you remove the whole suspension thing. But I'm pretty intrigued by the entire Oakland Raiders passing attack in the fantasy football playoffs, especially given that the team is now firmly in the playoff hunt. In week 14, they'll be going up against a Kansas City Chiefs defense that they destroyed earlier in the season, scoring 31 points. Week 15 features a game against a bottom-tiered secondary in the Dallas Cowboys, and then in week 16, they're going to face the Eagles. Not the easiest matchup in the world, but the Eagles have faced the highest pass-to-run ratio in the entire NFL this year. That means there's a lot of passing that could happen for the Raiders offense. I think that Crabtree and company could be very useful in these fantasy football playoffs. Sell Josh McCown. I wrote this in my 15 transactions article, but it says, "Nothing gets me more excited than nuggets like this." During this 2017 fantasy football season, Josh McCown, through week 13, has scored more fantasy points than Drew Brees.
Quack, quack, quack.
McCown's been on a tear, you guys. He's ranked as a top 7 quarterback in 5 of his last 7 games. Matt Ryan hasn't even done that once this year. Matt Ryan actually hasn't ranked higher than 10th in weekly quarterback scoring this year. But I think that the honeymoon may end soon for Josh McCown, at least from a fantasy football standpoint. Over the team's next 3 games, they're going to face the Broncos and the Saints on the road, and that's followed up by a contest against the Chargers at home to close out the fantasy football season. While Denver's given up a ton of passing touchdowns, they've also allowed the 5th fewest passing yards, which screams regression. The Saints should be at full strength in the secondary too by week 15, and the Chargers, as I talked about with Josh Gordon, they're very, very good in the secondary. So it's not going to be an easy time for Josh McCown through the end of the season. Add David Njoku. So David Njoku played 54% of Cleveland snaps on Sunday, 1 week after hitting a season-high 59% snap rate. And according to Pro Football Focus, during his first 10 games of the season, Njoku averaged about 17 routes run per game. But over the last 2 weeks, that's jumped to 21. And that's resulted in 10 total targets. So if you're struggling at the tight end position and need more of an under-the-radar add, David Njoku could be it. Hopefully Cleveland continues to feature him more and more. And as a side note, if you're looking for tight end help, keep tabs on Zach Ertz and his concussion situation. Because if he's unable to go, Trey Burton is a really attractive streamer this week. By Devin Funchess. Devin Funchess had disappeared until the end of that Panthers-Saints game on Sunday, but he was still able to haul in 4 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. Since Kelvin Benjamin left Charlotte, Funchess has averaged 8 targets per game and a 28.07% target share in that Panthers offense. Those are great numbers. He's more than likely going to struggle here in week 14 against Xavier Rhodes in that Vikings defense, but you could argue that no wide receiver in the entire NFL has a better week 15 and week 16 schedule than Devin Funchess. He's going to face the Packers and the Buccaneers. Green Bay has surrendered the 5th most fantasy points to wide receivers this year, and Tampa Bay has given up the most. All of the Devin Funchess in week 15 and 16. Add Peyton Barber. With Doug Martin sidelined with a concussion this past week, Peyton Barber ended up taking up most of the work in the Bucs' backfield. He carried the ball 23 of a possible 30 running back attempts, he played 68% of the team's snaps, and he caught all 4 of his targets for 41 receiving yards. If Martin can't get back on the field this week, then Barber has a really nice matchup against a Lions front that's allowed a top 12 running back performance in PPR leagues in 5 of their last 6 games. Add DeShone Kizer. I know that it's going to feel uncomfortable playing DeShone Kizer, because DeShone Kizer isn't very good. He hasn't played well this year. Among the 33 quarterbacks with 200 plus attempts this season, no quarterback has a lower adjusted net yards per attempt rate, and no quarterback has a worse quarterback rating, and no quarterback has a worse interception rate than DeShone Kizer. He's basically been the worst passer in the NFL this year. Even still, 3 of Kizer's last 5 starts have resulted in a top 12 QB1 performance in fantasy football thanks to his rushing ability. And he's got things in his favor this week against Green Bay. The Packers have allowed the 7th highest net yards per attempt rate this year and the 7th most passing yards. So at home and with Josh Gordon back, this is actually kind of a sweet spot for DeShone Kizer. If you're in desperate need for quarterback help, he's not the worst option in the world. Add the Cincinnati Bengals defense. So when you're looking for a streaming defense, the quick checklist that you want is whether or not the team is at home, whether or not the team is a favorite, and whether or not the opponent has strong quarterback play. The Bengals check every single box this week. They're going to be at home, and they're facing the Bears, who don't have a good quarterback, or at least not yet. Since Mitch Trubisky took over the Chicago offense in week 5, opposing defenses are averaging 9.56 standard fantasy points per game against Chicago. Only 2 of their 8 opponents have finished outside the top 12 in weekly defensive scoring. Cincinnati is in a great position to score some fantasy points this weekend. Add Blaine Gabbert. So as always, I like to finish this podcast with the 16th transaction, which is a transaction that you can only get on this podcast and not in the article that I do over on numberfire.com. And this week's 16th transaction is to add Blaine Gabbert as long as you're looking for another quarterback streamer. Gabbert was certainly not very special in week 13, but he's shown to have some usability this year with his first 2 starts providing a 17-point floor. Most importantly, though, he's facing the Titans this week at home, and while the Titans haven't been god-awful against quarterbacks in terms of fantasy points allowed this year, our net expected points metric at NumberFire hates that secondary because our numbers are adjusted for strength of opponent. And Tennessee has gone up against Tom Savage twice, Jay Cutler, Jacoby Brissett, Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer, Joe Flacco, the list goes on and on. Gabbert is not a bad streamer this week, and he probably will provide you a better floor than someone like DeShone Kizer. That's going to do it for today's show, though, everyone. I appreciate you guys listening. As always, if you've yet to subscribe to the show, do so by going to iTunes, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher. And don't forget to leave a rating and review on iTunes. As most of you know, I draw a name at random each month of a reviewer, and that person then goes on to win a free NumberFire premium subscription for an entire year. And this month's winner was just drawn, so congrats to JHenry8, and thanks for the review. Hit me up at jj@numberfire.com, and I'll hook you up with that premium sub. As always, I'll be back on Thursday with my Start Sit show, and Friday with the mailbag episode. If you've got any questions for that mailbag episode, email me at jj@numberfire.com or hit me up on Twitter @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you later in the week.